Well, yesterday we found out right around this time that Bernie Madoff had died. And good riddance. I'm sure he is burning in hell somewhere. But I was thinking about how we could address this story. And the best book that I've read about Bernie Madoff was a book called Too Good to Be True, The Rise and Fall of Bernie Madoff. The author of that book is Erin Arvin-Lund. She's out of Philadelphia, works for the Philadelphia Inquirer there, and she's now on KCMO Talk Radio. Erin, thank you for being here. This book, I read it about 10 years ago. You did a great job with it. But for people who are trying to look at this moment in time and look back at that moment in time, what is, let's go through what made Bernie Madoff the most successful con man in modern American history.
Wow. Well, the key to it all was that he had a very successful legitimate business, which was his brokerage firm. And at one point, he and his brother Peter Madoff were handling 10% of all the volume on the New York Stock Exchange. And that was great cover. That was kind of like the storefront for the fraudulent hedge fund. Mm-hmm. So it always helps to have a real business to give you cover for the phony business.
Mm-hmm. Now, why was it that a guy who I'm sure, based on what he was doing legally, would have been an incredibly wealthy man? What drives a guy like Bernie Madoff to go from being a very wealthy man to having to rip off thousands of people, destroy their livelihoods, to just be even richer? What was the motivating factor behind that?
Yeah, that was the biggest mystery to me, because he was already pretty successful. So my guess is that he was essentially a financial serial killer. He enjoyed taking advantage of people. He liked getting one over, especially on, millionaires and billionaires. And he brought a lot of, regular folks like you and me along for the ride.
Well, that's what's fascinating, too. Like, all the stories, there were thousands of just mom and pops who got hosed in this, but there were also, billionaires in their own rights. Like, I think of the, the New York Mets owners, the Wilpons. I mean, they were caught up in this whole thing. So how does a guy go from not just swindling mom and pops, but swindling already people who are obviously incredibly successful and theoretically incredibly smart?
Sure. Yeah, he ensnared Palm Beach Country Club members. He got members of Hollywood, the elite there, Steven Spielberg and John Malkovich and Kevin Bacon. A lot of times it's just the velvet rope trick. When you tell wealthy people they can't get into something, they want it even more. And Madoff was a master of that. He loved to turn people down, and that made them want to invest with him all the more.
What did you, when you were writing this book, Erin, and you were researching Bernie Madoff, and you did this book, I didn't realize it was 2009. I couldn't believe it was that long ago. So you were really right after this all went down. What was it about that moment and that research that even surprised you going into it?
What surprised me was interviewing the FBI agents who were the guys and gals doing the really hard work in the years after his arrest. It took them 6 years to go through all the records. And the big surprise was that the fraud started from the very beginning, like right around the mid-1960s. Madoff and his brother had this little side enterprise, and they just kind of let it keep going until it got into the billions of dollars. And by the time the stock market crashed in 2008, the big financial crisis, that was the only reason it was unmasked.
Yeah.
I think if the market had not crashed, it would have kept going.
Yeah. Now there were, Erin, there were whistleblowers that were out there trying to tip off the feds to what Bernie Madoff was doing. Why, in hindsight, didn't those guys get any attention?
Honestly, no one likes a whistleblower. And the whistleblower you're thinking of was a guy by the name of Harry Markopoulos.
Yes, yes.
He was a competitor to Madoff. He went to the SEC very early on, maybe around the late 1990s, and said, these returns are mathematically impossible. This guy's batting 1,000. You got to look into him. And the SEC took a pass, and they took a pass half a dozen times. And the only thing I can think of is You know, when you're dealing with kind of a godfather in an industry, no one wants to ask a lot of questions. And so Markopoulos was finally vindicated when Madoff was arrested, but it took way too long.
Yeah, it did. She is Erin Arvid-Lund. She wrote a great book about Bernie Madoff, Too Good to Be True, and Bernie Madoff, of course, dying yesterday. What about Bernie Madoff, the person, the psychology behind Bernie Madoff, Erin? What did you learn about who Bernie Madoff was when you wrote this book over 10 years ago?
What I learned was that he was a kind of an up-and-comer from Queens, New York. He wanted to make a name for himself, and he was able to do that in a time when Wall Street was really growing. He and his brother Peter pushed for computerized trading. They were real innovators. It's just a shame and always a mystery to me why they just couldn't leave that as their legacy.
Who in the family, you mentioned his brother Peter, who else in the family, if anybody, and employees as well, knew the truth? Because it's been a while since I read it, but as I recall, there were people, other people around him and the family and the business who were kind of aware of what was going on.
Sure, absolutely. So Bernie's sons worked at the brokerage firm. I always believed that they were being groomed to take over the phony hedge fund because, you know, hey, somebody had to. He had a group I referred to as the Madoff Five, clerical workers, an assistant, a secretary, computer programmers, all helping him generate these phony statements for decades. So he certainly did not do it alone.
And just so people know, I mean, it was just your classic Erin Ponzi scheme where if people needed capital or needed cash for whatever reason, he could fund it through other people's money. But in 2008, when everyone's looking to pull out, I mean, that's how he got busted, right? There was no more money.
No, there was he was the master of raising more money in order to, you
To
know, feed
pay people
the
back, right?
pyramid. Yeah, he always had cash in order to pay off the early investors. And had to find new victims to keep it going. It was the ultimate pyramid scheme.
Yeah. And then once the crisis hit and everyone wants out, he doesn't have enough capital, new capital coming in to pay those people out. And that's how he gets caught, right?
Precisely. Everyone ran back to Bernie Madoff after the market crashed and the real estate bubble popped, and he didn't have the money.
It's just amazing to think, Erin, if that doesn't happen, I mean, are we sitting here today with Bernie Madoff, you know, being on CNBC and all these different places and still being the godfather and kingpin? I mean, think about that, right?
Definitely. And you know, we're still seeing these Ponzi schemes today. There was a one in Hollywood recently, a guy by the name of Zach Avery, an actor who raised over $700 million selling quote unquote film rights. It was all a scheme. And we're going to see more of them. So the most important thing is if you don't have statements that you can double and triple check with third parties, don't invest.
No, that's so true. Erin, I really enjoyed this book, and it had brought me back to a previous life when I thought I would be in this industry, and now here we are 10 years later, and I so appreciate you coming on and being willing to share the story behind the book, Too Good to Be True, The Rise and Fall of Bernie Madoff. Thank you so much for being here on KCMO in Kansas City.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. That is Erin Arvid-Lund and her book, once again, Too Good to Be True, The Rise and Fall of Bernie Madoff. And 10 years ago, read it, great book. And with him dying yesterday, he's currently, as I mentioned, burning in hell. But boy, she did a great job with that. Yeah, I thought I was going to be in finance. Now I'm sitting here with John and Mark. I mean, what a twist and turn in life, isn't it? Unbelievable.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Not a bad place to be, Pete.
Says Mark.
Yes.
Oh, boy.